You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. 1 or 2 degrees of Dan Inosanto, Part 4. This is the final installment in my series about the astonishing number of exceptional human beings that have trained, been trained by, or crossed paths with my teacher and mentor, Dan Inosanto. In addition to his influences on the martial arts, and even football, Mr. Inosanto has also had a profound effect on the film and television industry. He began his journey into this world with some martial arts stunt work with Bruce Lee, both on the TV series The Green Hornet and in Lee's film The Game of Death. He continued to work in films and television after Bruce Lee's death almost up to the present, appearing in dozens of films, including The Killer Elite, Big Trouble in Little China, and Escape from Los Angeles. In the 1980s, he auditioned for a significant acting part, playing an assassin in a detective thriller entitled Sharky's Machine. Famed Hollywood star Burt Reynolds directed and starred in the film and personally auditioned Mr. Inosanto for the role, saying that he wanted to see how the martial artist would, quote, react to my moves, unquote. They went through some exchanges using a dull training knife, but Reynolds went at it hard enough that he got cut. Mr. Inosanto was horrified, sure that he had lost the part. But Reynolds, who started his career as a stuntman, wasn't at all bothered. He then asked Mr. Inosanto to demonstrate some throws on him. Again, this was cause for concern as the surface they were on was concrete. Mr. Inosanto complied, and Burt Reynolds went down, getting a bit more bloody in the process. Mr. Reynolds, unperturbed, smiled at Mr. Inosanto, shook his hand, and thanked him, and then turned to the stunt coordinator of the film, saying, I want to use him. Sharky's Machine was the first film in which Mr. Inosanto had his own stunt double. In this case, it was Hong Kong-born and Atlanta-based Wing Chun Kung Fu instructor Francis Fong. Mr. Fong and Mr. Inosanto went on to become close friends, and Mr. Fong went on to become a very important instructor under Dan Inosanto and Suruchai Sirisut. Mr. Inosanto's next major film role was again as a villain in the Steven Seagal film Out for Justice, in which Mr. Seagal and Mr. Inosanto have a fight scene in a bar, each one wielding double sticks. Acting roles continued, off and on, for Mr. Inosanto all the way into his 70s in the films Big Stan and Red Belt. Mr. Inosanto has had a lasting effect on the film industry, both through his influence as a technical advisor to stunt coordinators and directors, and also through the work of a large number of his students whose film careers also started through stunt work. The net result of this body of work by Dan Inosanto and his students has been a revolution in the way the martial arts is depicted on the screen. It's gotten to the point where I always watch the credits after a film to see if I know any of the stunt men or women. Mr. Inosanto's student, Jeff Imada, did stunts in 181 films, including Rush Hour, Fight Club, Highlander 2, Roadhouse, Lethal Weapon, and Blade Runner. He also acted in 51 films, including Rambo, Big Trouble in Little China, and The Crow. Jeff moved up to fight coordinator for The Crow, the Jason Bourne trilogy of movies starring Matt Damon, The Book of Eli, Iron Man 2, Total Recall, The Twilight Movies, Fast and Furious, and Furious 7. And finally, Mr. Imada moved up to assistant or second unit director in 7 films. Another of Mr. Inosanto's students, Chad Stahelski, performed stunt work in 71 films, in the process developing a close friendship with film star Keanu Reeves. He doubled for Reeves in films like Point Break and The Matrix Trilogy. When you see The Matrix lead character, Neo, pulling off an epic move, chances are you're seeing Chad Stahelski, not Keanu Reeves. Chad also filled in as a stunt double for the late Brandon Lee after his tragic death during the filming of the movie The Crow. His contribution saved this very good film, allowing it to be finished and released. He also acted in 15 films, including V for Vendetta and Constantine. He moved up to stunt coordinator in films like the last two Matrix movies, V for Vendetta, 300, and The Hunger Games. He then moved up to assistant director or second unit director for films like Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows, The Hunger Games films, and the recently released Captain America, Civil War. I recently watched the film John Wick, also with Keanu Reeves, and was really taken with the pacing and quality of the action scenes, which make up most of this almost non-stop action film. As is my previously mentioned habit, I watched the credits at the end, and I was stunned to discover that Chad directed and produced this film. That's quite a step up from stunt double. Another of Mr. Inosanto's students, Damon Caro, has done stunt work in 67 films, including the Jason Bourne films, Dawn of the Dead, and Spider-Man 3. He acted in 8 films, including Watchmen and Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. He then moved up to stunt coordinator or fight choreographer in films like Fight Club, 300, Watchmen, Man of Steel, and Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. Continuing a career climb similar to that of Jeff Imada and Chad Stahelski, Damon has been assistant director or second unit director in films like Man of Steel, 300, Rise of an Empire, and Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. As most of you know, I am a card-carrying nerd and a huge Star Trek fan. I remember when watching the 5th season of the Star Trek series Enterprise, I noticed that the quality of the fight scenes had improved considerably over that in earlier seasons. They contained a lot of techniques that I thought were Filipino martial arts techniques and Silat techniques, and they were executed well. Well, it turned out that Mr. Inosanto's son-in-law and student, Ron Beliki, was the stunt coordinator. Quality martial arts in the Star Trek universe. A dream of mine for decades had finally come true. These are only some of Mr. Inosanto's students who have found careers in Hollywood. In addition, some already established Hollywood actors have come to train at the Inosanto Academy, frequently in preparation for an upcoming role. Among them are Val Kilmer and Denzel Washington. On a personal note, I once took a shoot wrestling class at the Inosanto Academy in which I rolled with actor Mario Van Peebles. The bottom line is that if you see a great fight scene on film or television from around the 90s to the present, there's a good chance that Dan Inosanto influenced its quality, either directly or indirectly. High-powered athletes like Kobe Bryant have also sought out Mr. Inosanto for private lessons, as well as top-level fighters like MMA legend Anderson Silva. Mr. Inosanto has impacted not only our culture, but our very security. He has trained members of the military forces of the United States and its allies, especially at the level of elite special operations personnel, through specially organized training courses and seminars, and through participation in his regular classes. Among his students are SEAL Team 6 members Pat Trey and Frank Cucci, each of whom also run successful commercial martial arts academies. In 1982, Mr. Inosanto met yet another person of amazing talent who has had a pivotal role in his life. He was teaching a seminar in Chicago at the time and was stricken with a severe viral infection. He was admitted to a Chicago hospital where his future second wife, Paula, was a nurse. They quickly became friends. Friendship became romance and, finally, marriage. I've seen Paula Inosanto in action on many occasions, and she is a truly formidable martial artist with a level of skill and depth of knowledge that many don't realize. But more importantly, she has a no-nonsense head for business, and over the last 3 decades has helped to assure that Mr. Inosanto's academy and seminar business stay in the black, doing us all a huge service in the process. For years, as you would imagine, Mr. Inosanto's reputation functioned well for bringing in a steady stream of prospective customers. But he is such a genuinely sweet person that he had allowed the roster to become packed with students who were either training free of charge or enjoying substantial discounts. If you've ever owned a business and paid the rent for a commercial space, not to mention paid utilities and maintenance, you know how difficult it can be to cover the monthly overhead. Now, imagine what rent costs for a commercial location in West Los Angeles. The fact is that when Paula Inosanto came on the scene, the Academy was hemorrhaging cash at a frightening rate. It wouldn't do to have our teacher subsisting on cat food in his old age, and Mrs. Inosanto put her foot down and began making sure that that wasn't going to happen. I think we all owe her a debt for this. At this point in his career, Mr. Inosanto's research into the martial arts was still going strong. In the late 80s, he was teaching a seminar in Japan when he met a martial artist named Satoru Sayama. Mr. Sayama had founded a system and sanctioning organization in Japan for a form of mixed martial arts that predated the Ultimate Fighting Championship. It was called Shuto, or shoot wrestling, and to create it, Sayama drew techniques from judo, Muay Thai, Sambo, and submission grappling. Mr. Inosanto and Sayama were each impressed with the other. Sayama's protege, Yori Nakamura, was even more impressed with Dan Inosanto. When Mr. Inosanto invited Yori to move to the United States to teach shoot wrestling at the Inosanto Academy and to train under him, Yori Nakamura sensibly jumped at the chance. His shoot wrestling classes at the Inosanto Academy were and are hugely successful, and he proved to be a prodigious student as well, specializing in Bruce Lee's curriculum, Junfan Kung Fu. Mr. Inosanto now frequently speaks in glowing terms of what a high level of knowledge and skill Yori Nakamura has reached in Bruce Lee's curriculum, stating flatly that he thinks Yori is better at Junfan Kung Fu than anyone since Bruce Lee, including himself. High praise indeed. Also, as part of his research, Mr. Inosanto has delved deeply into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Starting in the mid-90s, he began training with the Machado brothers, who are cousins of the legendary Gracie family. He has trained with all five of them, but has logged in a tremendous number of private lessons with Higgin and Hodger. How do busy martial arts legends like Dan Inosanto and Higgin Machado find time for regular training sessions? Why, they wake up early and do it at 5:30 a.m., as they have done for years. How many of us, who if we had reached Dan Inosanto's level and fame, would choose a training schedule like that in our 70s? The Machado brothers are all amazing, but the story of Jean-Jacques Machado is especially so. He was born with a malformed left hand, possessing only a thumb and a stub of a pinky finger. All the other fingers are missing. In a sport and art where gripping is of paramount importance, his left hand has not slowed down Jean-Jacques in the least. He competed at the legendary Abu Dhabi Nogi tournament, where you needed to be a world-class grappler to even be invited to compete. He was the first competitor in the history of that tournament to win every match in his weight division by submission. All this done while being one of the oldest competitors there. When lists of the greatest BJJ competitors of the early tournament era are compiled, Jean-Jacques Machado is frequently rated as number 2, right after Hickson Gracie. That's august company. Jean-Jacques Machado has cross-collar choked me more than once while rolling. Think about that for a second. To successfully grip the collar for this choke, he has to pinch it between the inside of his left thumb and the side of his left palm. Try that yourself sometime. Mr. Inosanto's nose for research then led him to train with veteran collegiate wrestler Rico Ciparelli at Rico's gym in Los Angeles. While there, he met and trained with famed wrestler and future 5-time UFC champion Randy Couture. They became friends, and Mr. Couture began training with Mr. Inosanto to help improve his striking skills. The resulting style was what Mr. Couture later called dirty boxing, and was mostly drawn from Filipino panuntukan. In more recent years, Mr. Inosanto has taken private strength and conditioning lessons from Russian kettlebell and exercise guru Pavel Tsatsulin. At very close to 80 years of age, Mr. Inosanto also now trains regularly in Cambodian boxing, sometimes doing 15 rounds of work in a session. And finally, to bring this four-part series to a close, I mustn't neglect to mention that Mr. Inosanto has produced a prodigious number of extremely high-quality instructors who have taught and currently teach around the world. They include Eric Paulson, Burton Richardson, Paul Vunak, Greg Nelson, Rick Fay, Don Guerin, the late Terry Gibson, Daniel Sullivan, Chris Clark, Cass Magda, Salim Asli, my friend Tsuyoshi Abe, and my very good friend Joel Clark, who has toured with Mr. Inosanto as his demonstration assistant, facilitator, and bodyguard for well more than a decade. At the time of this recording, Mr. Inosanto is a few months shy of his 80th birthday. He taught a seminar at my academy about a month ago and was as sharp and brilliant as ever. It's often joked by doctors that if you want a long life, pick your parents wisely. Dan Inosanto's father, Sebastian, lived to a few days short of his 101st birthday. This means that there's a very good chance that Mr. Inosanto's research will go on for a lot longer, and that he will meet many more amazing humans to the benefit of us all. Now, this has been by no means a comprehensive list of all the phenomenal people that Dan Inosanto has known. I had to trim down the list to keep this four-part podcast at a manageable size. I meant no offense or slight to anyone who was left out. I will finish with a simple quotation from legendary scientist Sir Isaac Newton, who knew a thing or two about research. It goes, "If I have seen further, it is by standing on the shoulders of giants." Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.